Hello, sports fans. My name is Caleb Walgren, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 22 of the greatest sports podcast in the history of the universe, and that is Brody Sports Talk, where I am your host and the founder of the podcast, Caleb Walgren. You also might know me from being a owner of the Packers. But there's one person who you all undoubtedly know and came here to hear from today, and that is Captain Orange, who is definitely going out and putting together his best Pistol Pete outfit after a beautiful win on Friday night, and that is Captain Orange, Derek Rusnick. How are you doing today, man?
The Pokes are back. We're going to win a national championship this year. Like, just one week at a time. We've got this. There's going to be a lot of all the teams in front of us have to play each other, and someone's going to lose. You know, I think that South Alabama loss is going to look really good on our resume.
I think that you could very well be right, Derek, as far as it looking good on your resume. Wait, how many teams are in the playoff this year? We'll see. There's a couple months left. We'll see when they announce it, if the Oklahoma State makes the cut or not. But in that spirit, Derek, I'm going to go ahead and jump in to our Brody spotlights today. And I want to start with, I'm going to start with my take. Actually, I'm going to be a little selfish here. And that is, of course, that sports are supposed to be fun. Derek, I don't know if it has been because I have been a fan of the Packers, who've gone through some rough stretches lately, or the Huskers, who've gone through rough stretches for approximately the last 15 years or 20 years, depending on how far back you really want to go. But the whole idea for me with sports is that we get to go enjoy something. It's a little bit different from regular life. Let's unite together behind our team, cheer them on, and hope for the best. And, you know, all of the people out there are people. We want to see them do well and succeed. And, like, let's just have fun. I feel like too often recently in the media, there's been a couple of commentators who have come out and said really kind of, like, hurtful or disparaging things about the players playing the contests. And in general, there's kind of this attitude that seems to be too prevalent, especially in the social media age, that's really all or nothing. Like, there's not a point of anything if you don't win a championship. And I'm sorry, at some point, if you are watching the Wyoming Fresno State game on Saturday night, you're probably not worried about if Wyoming's going to win a national championship. You just want to see if they're going to be able to hang on against those pesky Bulldogs. Let's have fun. Let's be in the moment. Let's enjoy the parts that are supposed to be fun. Let's let the players have some fun. Let's let the coaches have some fun. Like, let's enjoy the moments that are great, because that is what we are all here for. And even if it has to be things like enjoying the little jokes about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, because we're going to keep hearing them. You know what? It's not any worse than any of the other bad jokes commentators make. So I'm here for it. Let's enjoy the fun. Let's lean into it. And let's have a great time. And with that, Derek, I don't know if you have anything you want to add on it, but I feel like you could go right into your take as well, because it's all about having fun and enjoying all of them.
Yeah, so the only thing that I care about when it comes to these commentators making comments about who people are dating, what they're doing in their personal life, all that jazz, is come up with some good material. Like, there was an entire writer's strike. I'm sure they had some people out there who needed a little bit of money or whatever. Have them write some jokes for you. Like, give me some good, funny jokes about Taylor Swift or Mr. Kelce. or Aaron Rodgers, or, you know, give me some good jokes. I don't want to see AJ McCarron is dating Miss Alabama and, show her in the stands 90 times. Give me something original. Give me something funny. And this isn't the end of the world. If Caleb Williams throws for 6 touchdowns or throws for 6 interceptions, tomorrow I wake up, it's a brand new day. Exactly what Caleb said. Let's have some fun with this. And we are sitting on our couches watching sports. What a blessed life we have. Speaking of that, the Big Five are finally back. So we have the NFL games. We have college football games. We have the MLB playoffs. We have the preseason of the NBA starting off. And as this podcast is coming out, the puck has dropped on the NHL season. This is prime sports watching time. Like, some of the best that you're going to see is going on over the next few weeks. So, really great games. We'll talk about some games later on today. That's going to be when we talk about our Brody bets, some of the college footballs, the NFL. The Phillies Braves series has been great. The Rangers Orioles series has been great in the MLB playoffs. There are so many storylines going into this new NBA season. I could sit here and talk for hours about sports and probably not jump to cricket or rugby or something completely different. We have the 5 major sports on our TV all within a week every night of the week is going to have something that we can watch. And I feel so blessed.
Absolutely. And let's be real. Like, there's a point in late July and early August when it's like, the Little League World Series is on. Let's get it hyped because we've got to find something to get hyped about. Or it's like, oh, did I miss ESPN8, the Ocho Day? Because I need to check to see if they're doing that cornhole tournament right now. Like, the Big Five are where it's at. Football, basketball, hockey, baseball, college football. If you want to, as far as I'm concerned, I get to jump overseas and get some Premier League in there as well. So I will take that as a little bit of fun for me as well. But it is a beautiful time to just sit here and revel in the sports. Sometimes I like to sit and say it's the most wonderful time of the year when football season is coming back, making a spin off of the Christmas Carol. But I do think that it is probably, in fact, now when we have all 5 sports, the most wonderful time of the year. Plus, I believe we're in a stretch of like 50 days in a row or something like that with football games. If we want it, like, I'm sorry to Jacksonville State and Liberty. I know that we are recording while your game is going on. Jacksonville State has a former Nebraska quarterback playing quarterback there, and Logan Smothers. Like, I saw people getting hyped about him on Twitter before we jumped on the podcast tonight. Like, if you want sports, it is there. It is there for all of us. It is so much fun. Well, Derek, any thoughts you have before I jump into the wide world of sports, going kind of with some things that I've seen about World Mental Health Day?
No, I think we tell me what you got going on there, and I'll comment after that.
So I've found, and we've advocated on this podcast many a times, about mental health and how important it can truly be. And we talked about it with Dak Prescott after his brother had passed by taking his life. We talked about it various times over the years that it is just a very critically important thing to be taking care of yourself in the right ways and the right times. I did notice that the Eagles shared some insight from Lane Johnson today. Lane Johnson, a couple of years ago, actually had stepped away from the team to get his mental health in order. And one of the things that he was quoted as saying was, "I thought the more accolades and achievements that I got, my self-esteem would improve or feelings would go away. When you don't address things and constantly run from them, the monster keeps building." And I love that from Lane Johnson because he is one of the like largest guys in the NFL as a right tackle. I want to say he comes in at like 6'5", 300, 310, something like that. We talked about him back in the Brody 50 earlier this year where he just hasn't allowed a sack since I think Mad Max Fury Road came out, and which I still don't know exactly when that is, but it was early 2021 was my best recollection. And if Lane Johnson is going to come out and say those things, I feel very empowered as well to say, look, we're all trying to do our best every day. We're all trying to put our best foot forward. If you're not having the best day, it's okay to stay that. It's okay to be authentic and real with your loved ones and your friends. If they don't listen and appreciate and reach back to you, they may not actually be that good of a friend in the first place, which may hurt. But at the same time, mental health is that important. And that brings me to my other thing that I really kind of drew inspiration from on this today. And it's a video that was posted by a championship club in England. And it, so when I say championship, it's the level below the Premier League. It's Norwich City FC. They are often called the Canaries, and that's where they get their colors of green and yellow from. There's part of me that likes their green and yellow colors because I am a Packer owner, but the green is a little bit more bright green. It is not quite the dark green that the Packers wear. But besides that, they posted a wonderful video that was all about just checking in on those around you. Because sometimes it can be obvious when someone is struggling to cope, but sometimes it's harder to spot the signs. It's a beautiful video. It's like a 2-minute video. I'm going to make sure to link it in the episode description. If you need to pause this and go watch that video and come back, I'm fine with that. Normally, I don't want anyone to like stop the podcast mid-podcast to check anything out, but knowing who your people are, being able to check in on those around you, if this counts as the Brodies checking in on you and making sure that you're okay, great. We want to be able to help lift you up and be there for you as well. We do have our Twitter. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm super active on it, but you can interact with us there at Brody Talk and make sure that you know that you matter, you're important, your life is precious, and that is really, of all of the things that I could ever sit here and say on this podcast, that is probably one of the most important things. So I'm going to pause for a second, Derek. I feel like I soapboxed a little bit there, but trying to be as delicate around this sensitive topic as I can. What are your thoughts either about Lane Johnson's comments or the video? We did share it from our Twitter account as well. So if you see that there, you can watch it there. What are you thinking, Derek?
Yeah. So as someone who has been in therapy for a couple of years now, there is no reason to feel ashamed if you have to talk to somebody, if you... Even the strongest people still need other people. And so for me, I think it's great that we have a World Mental Health Day, and we have people who are stepping up and speaking out about the struggles of life. I mean, even super rich, super athletic guys who haven't given up a sack since the Reagan administration, they still struggle. And so I will say that, and this is for everybody who has a pair of headphones in right now, if you're ever struggling, my DMs are always open. I'm not a smart man, but I have two good ears that that can always listen. I never want people to go through those tough times alone. You have someone out there, and I don't have to know you to know that I care about you. That's all I have to say.
Just in case people don't know, I do go ahead and post both mine and Derek's personal Twitter links in the description every week as well. So if you do need to get a hold of myself or Derek, feel free to do so. That's all that we have for the spotlights this week. In going from the more serious things to the more funny and lighthearted things in the world of sports, Derek, let's go ahead and go over to the GOAT of the week as we attempt to transition in the smoothest way possible. Who is your GOAT of the week?
Okay, so you're playing college football. You are the quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes. 23 years ago, 25 years ago, that jersey really meant something. And, you know, they've gone through some tough times recently, been up and down. Clemson has kind of won their league, kind of been the dominant force, but they're on the upswing. And then you go out there, you have 33 seconds left, you're up by three, and all you have to do, take a knee, and you're going to win this game, and you're still undefeated, 5-0. Good job, Miami. And so you, quarterback hands the ball off, running back runs forward. Why doesn't he fall down? I don't know, but he runs through the line, falls down, and fumbles. The other team, Georgia Tech, gets the fumble. Okay, this is a bad situation. It's going to look bad on your stat line because they have 74 yards to go in 33 seconds. That's a long way to go with 6 minutes left in the game, not to mention 33 seconds. Not that big of a deal. That fumble, you know, you're probably going to have to run some stairs because of it. And then three plays later and a 44-yard touchdown pass, Georgia Tech wins this game. You had control of the game. All you had to do, the quarterback doesn't have to listen to his coach. The running back doesn't have to listen to his quarterback. The running back, you know, maybe could fall on the ball, whatever it is. My GOAT is this defense. There's a lot of blame to go around. A lot of blame. You should have won this game. Your team did everything up to the last 33 seconds. But you're telling me that you're going to allow a team that put 17 points on you for the first 60 minutes of the game. The first 60 minutes of the game, you give up 17 points, and you're going to give up six in the last 33 seconds. What in the world is prevent defense anymore? Because if you go back and watch the video, the guy is running into the end zone with no one within 6 yards of him. How did a guy get past your deepest guy? Like, what is the defense that you're playing? I'm going to blame the coach. I'm going to blame the running back. I'm going to blame the quarterback. But the goat that needs to be put out to pasture is your prevent defense. Guys, you have to be deeper than the deepest guy out there. And I'm blaming you. You run this game for the Miami Hurricane.
I like it. I like it, Derek. You leaned into those Hurricane hard. Can I say it's all about the you? I think that might be a bit too much after all of that. But when you're playing prevent defense, you literally have to prevent something. And that is not what happened when the Hurricanes were trying to finish things out against Georgia Tech. Also, take a knee. That goat of the week was definitely one of our negative points. I don't blame you. It had to be called out. It was going to come up somewhere on the podcast, and this was probably the spot that fit the best. My goat of the week, I'm actually going to the NFL, and I'm going to talk about Detroit Lions tight end Sam Laporta. Now, why did Sam Laporta get this award this week? It wasn't really his best game of his career so far. He had 3 catches on 4 targets and 2 touchdowns for 47 yards in the Lions' 42-24 win over the Panthers, in which the Lions scored significantly more points than I expected. More on that to come. Sam Laporta is just having a great start to the year. Derek, I don't know that this really makes a ton of sense in light of a lot of things, but when we were doing our divisional previews, was there anything on your radar that would have at least considered Sam Laporta getting into Rookie of the Year discussion?
So no, I mean, there's a great bunch of young talent on the Lions. Sam Laporta was not in my top 3 or top 4 of, hey, this guy's going to be Rookie of the Year. So no, but I am very happy to say that that's a goat.
So I looked at his stats so far this year, and on ESPN, they had taken the stats and extrapolated them out. For, you know, we've had 5 games. What would those stats look like roughly after 17 games? And it was 85 catches for 983 yards and 10 touchdowns. And I'm just kind of going, the Lions are one of the best teams in football. Sam Laporta can block and catch. He's one of those Iowa tight ends. I think that you could arguably put him in a conversation. I know at least my fantasy friends are putting him in a conversation with the Kelseys and the Andrews and the Kittles, because that's how he's been scoring so far this year, which is crazy. But Sam Laporta is someone who, yes, he may have been a second round pick, but I feel like the Lions got a steal. And I feel like what he's been doing for the Lions, the Bills wish Dalton Kincaid was able to do for them. And I'm not trying to rain on Dalton Kincaid. I think he might have gotten concussed this past week. So let's not be hateful. Like I said earlier, sports are supposed to be fun. But Sam Laporta has come out. He's had fun. And he is looking good in that Honolulu blue, even though it does break my heart a little bit because of how effective he's doing. Any final thoughts on Sam Laporta before we go to our stock watch for the week?
Gotta love tight ends. Just gotta love tight ends.
Absolutely. Well, Derek, I know that you are a common investor, invested in Apple before it blew up. what are you looking to buy on the stock watch this week?
So definitely go with Gala apples versus Granny Smith. You know, your return is certainly going to be caramel. So for me, I am buying low so that I can sell high. And after this last week, and we talked about it last week, we had our game of the week, OU and Texas. Next year, they're heading off to the SEC. Next year, there's going to be a bunch of flubber that goes along with conference realignment. This year, after last year's OU team, the beginning of this year's OU team, I thought, oh my goodness, OU is going to go to the SEC. Sure, they're going to make a bunch of money for the school, but they're going to be middle, lower end of the pack when it comes to where they're going to be. After this last week's game, I see huge dividends being paid by the investment in a new head coach after the last one walked away. And Steve Sarkisian, I'm going to say nice things about him. It's tough for me to do. But he could actually be an SEC-type coach. I mean, Lane Kiffin can do it, so can Steve Sarkisian. I mean, after the Nick Saban School of Reformed Coaches, after he got done there, Texas is not back. I hate when people say that Texas is back. No, they they're looking good, but next year you're going to have probably Arch Manning as a quarterback. If there's anyone that's ready to play, it's going to be Arch Manning. And going into next year, the defense is going to play really well. Like each year of the Brent Venables defense is going to get better and better. And so I think they're ready to go. So I am buying OU Texas going to the SEC so that in 2 years I can sell them as being the worst thing that's ever happened to a Texas or Oklahoma team.
I like it, Derek. I like it. Going to give your point some love by doing an honorary horns down on the podcast. So anytime I can do that, it's worth a little bit of love. And they sure look nice on Saturday. I will say that it was a beautiful game, very close to the wire ending. And as we don't have it on any of our Brody bets, we got to at least call out the fact that OU and Dylan Gabriel threw the game-winning touchdown pass with, what was it, 15 seconds left for OU to win. And I want to believe the final score was 34-30. So, wonderful game, lots of excitement. I'm glad we had it as our game of the week last week and pivoted from a Commanders-Bears game that I probably would have gotten all wrong if I were trying to predict any of it. So, you're welcome that I did not do that. Derek, I'm going to go ahead and invest as well. So okay. I'm going to invest a little bit in, you know me, I love analytics, but I do think that the analytics and advanced metrics that are out there really are struggling to put a good finger on what to do with the Philadelphia Eagles. Because I've been looking at some metrics, and you know in general, Derek, I believe it was a week or 2 weeks ago, I came out with my tier one NFL teams. I still feel pretty good about that tier, despite Buffalo's loss in London. I mean, Jacksonville wins in London. That's just what they do. But the Bills, Niners, Chiefs, Dolphins, and Eagles. Yes, I like those five teams a lot right now. They pass my eye test. They pass a lot of analytics, and I just really think that they are good. I was scrolling Twitter, and I saw someone post something from what's called the ESPN Football Power Index. I had not seen this metric before, so I went to go take a look at it. Here are their teams top eight. Okay, Derek. So. Mm-hmm. They start off number one. They have the Buffalo Bills. Okay. They're 3-2. I'm not really sure how you can have a 3-2 team at number one, but okay. then the Niners, Chiefs, Dolphins. I don't necessarily have issues with those teams. Those are tier one teams of mine. Like, they have four of my tier four one teams in the top four. Except for, then they have the Dallas Cowboys and the Baltimore Ravens. What? I don't know what to do with that, because they have the Eagles at 7 and then the Chargers at 8. None of this passes my eye test. I don't know how the Football Power Index gets put together, but I just kind of looked at this and said, if you're giving me an index that says that the math adds up that the Bills are number one ahead of all of those other teams, and that the Cowboys and Ravens are ahead of the Eagles right now, I think that you need to restructure your math, because you are overemphasizing some of the wrong things, in my opinion. So then I was like, let me go over to my typically handy index of that Football Outsiders puts out, DVOA. Number one, San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people are hyped about the 49ers right now. They're playing great football. I can't really argue with it. They at number two have the Buffalo Bills. I'm not sure I see it right now with two losses, but okay. Then they have the Lions. The Lions have played really well. The Dolphins, and then the Eagles. And then they go Chiefs, Ravens, Seahawks. Okay, I can stand the Eagles a little bit better at number five, but I think that there's just a lot of things that the Eagles do that people don't understand or don't appreciate. One is the Eagles are converting a lot of those third and fourth downs. They don't need to get a ton of yards per play. They may not be taking the deep shots as much as they used to. You know, Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown may not have been featured as much this year, but if you're going to get it with Jalen Hurts on third and fourth down, and you're going to let your new teammate that came in from Detroit and DeAndre Swift run all over people, fine. You're winning games. Like, your offensive line is a beast. It doesn't matter if you use them to pass block for Hurts, run block for Hurts, or run block for Swift. They're good. The other aspect of that is, I do think the Eagles have struggled a little bit in their secondary. They lost some talent there this offseason, and they still have an excellent pass rush. And there's only so much that you can put into pieces on some of that, as far as Jalen Carter is having a great start to the year. Haason Reddick is still there. Fletcher Cox. Like, I think that they know a little bit of what they are doing to do well in the right moment. Did they have a game that they could have slipped up and blown to the Commanders? Absolutely. They didn't. They're 5-0. Jake Elliott has been very reliable this year. I think that a lot of what Philly is doing this year seems less impressive, but then you have to remember that their coordinators left. They have new play callers on offense. They have a new play caller on defense. These things take time to get used to, and they're still 5-0. And just pushing through whatever team is in front of them in different ways. Sometimes it meant that they didn't have their best game against the Patriots in week one. You know what? It doesn't matter if you beat the Patriots by a small margin or a big margin. It doesn't matter that the Cowboys beat them 38-3 and then went out and lost to the Cardinals. Like, things happen. So, I don't know. I just think in general, if you're telling me that the Eagles are not a top three team, I have trouble buying it. I'm not going to sit here and say they're perfect or that they don't have flaws. I just think that they at least need to be given a little bit more respect than the math and the numbers can truly come up with, because I don't think that they can go and realize how good they are at converting fourth downs and those types of things. Derek, what do you think about this?
Okay, so I just have a question for you, and you've used most of my points that I had. So we're on the same page, especially the coordinator piece. Like, new offense, new defensive coordinator, and Nick Sirianni is still doing this. Cool. That means he was a pretty good coaching hire because it's his philosophy that's winning. So there's 32 teams in the NFL. I know, can you name one of the other 31 teams that the entire NFL is trying to shut down one of their plays? Are the Dolphins not able to throw the ball to Tyreek Hill? Are they trying to shut that down?
No. I have not heard anyone trying to shut that down.
No, are the Denver Broncos, are they being asked to play defense? No, of course not. They only put 11 guys out there, and that's just on offense. That was a dig at my own team. To everyone out there. Are they trying to shut down to Dak Prescott throwing interceptions?
They allow him to do that.
They allow him to do that. But the entire brotherly shove play, the NFL is trying to look at it on how to stop it just with the refs. It's not about the defense is trying to stop it. It's, well, Roger Goodell, we want you to stop this play because it's too good. When they get to a yard away, it's too good. It works too well. So you shouldn't allow it. Well, this is the team that gets to, that everyone is looking at. We don't want to use our defense to stop one of your most effective plays. We want the refs and the administration of the NFL higher ups to stop them from using that play. That is what is telling you that the Philadelphia Eagles are second or third of the best teams in the NFL right now. I have the 49ers being number one because they have offense, they have defense, and they also have Christian McCaffrey. Like, they're 5-0. But number two could definitely be the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bills are certainly not the number one, probably not even in my top five, because there's other teams out there that are deserving. Eagles, definitely top three most powerful teams in the NFL.
I mean, just to jump on the brotherly shove bandwagon for a minute, I believe that that's called being innovative. And, you know, it may not be as innovative as, like, Randy Moss joining the Patriots in 2007 and them deciding to throw the ball all over the field. But then when the Patriots offense went to two tight ends with Gronkowski and another tight end that they drafted that year, you didn't hear like people saying that the NFL needed to ban tight ends. No, people are just upset because they're upset because they're seeing it happen to their team and they don't like it. So my opinion, if it happens, it happens. But they talked about this last offseason and didn't ban it. So you should have figured out how to run the play. You should be able to run the play yourself and figuring it out during training camp, OTAs. I don't care if you line up a freaking defensive tackle in that quarterback spot and let him take the snap. Just get someone who's going to be able to get across the line and get that first down. But don't just ban it because you don't like it. Also, I have to say that I was trying to double check brotherly shove. And when I was Googling that, it was talking, apparently that is the title of an episode of Boy Meets World. So that is not what this we is were even talking better. About. We are even, not talking about
it's one of my
that.
Favorite shows growing up.
It says, for the record, Derek, if you need to look it up later, it's season 7, episode 19.
I actually remember that episode. If it's the same one that I'm thinking about, it probably is, because it was a very special episode.
The short synopsis says Corey and Eric fight over their childhood possessions as they clean out the family garage.
Oh, I picture that in my head. I know that episode very well. I've seen that episode a dozen times, probably. Loved Boy Meets World. Yeah, I know exactly which one that is. So it's Brotherly Shove. They call it the Tush Push, whatever. I heard Brotherly Love this week, Brotherly Shove this week, and I absolutely love that term, so I'm going to call it that from now on.
Absolutely. As we should. Derek, we've talked a lot about things we're investing in, and I may have ranted about the Eagles for way longer than I should have. But what are some things you are looking to sell?
Okay, so you invest in things so that you can sometimes sell things at a loss, so that you actually get your money out before it gets really bad. And so for me, the tea leaves are in. I can see what's happening before it's going to happen. The Minnesota Vikings need to sell Kirk Cousins to another team this year, another team that needs a quarterback, where they're a quarterback away from probably winning a championship. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, green and white. So for a couple of decent draft picks. Kirk Cousins is a free agent at the end of this year. The Vikings are not going to do anything the rest of the year. They're currently 1-4. Justin Jefferson is out for at least 4 weeks, probably 8, due to injury. The Detroit Lions are probably not going to give up the North. And if they do, it's going to be to the Packers. I don't all of a sudden think that the Minnesota Vikings are going to storm the North and win something when you're 3 games back from the current leader. And I also don't think they're going to get a wild card. So right now you need to sell what you get, probably a 4th rounder, something like that. Maybe, you know, you might actually get a 3rd, because you have backup quarterbacks, go put them in. You're not going to win anything this year. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. You're not going to probably make the playoffs and cut your losses, because Kirk Cousins is probably going to go somewhere else next year. If not, you're going to overpay for him. Now, Kirk Cousins is a top 3 quarterback when it comes to the metrics that are out there. So passing touchdowns, passing yards, efficiency, if he's not number 1, he's number 2 in most of those categories. Going into this last week, he was number 1 in passing touchdowns and passing yards. I don't know if that has changed since last Sunday. So Minnesota needs to get him off the books, move him to somewhere else, get some returns, sell high, as high as you can get, because you don't have it this year. Let's get a really good draft pick next year. You know, let's shoot for that number 1 pick or something like that, so you can get your wink wink nudge nudge quarterback that I've talked about for the last 2 weeks on my buy and sell, and just move on with your purple people eaters.
So I actually have a completely different trade that I'm just curious about, Derek. Yep. What if the Patriots traded for Kirk Cousins?
Let's make a 3-team deal.
I just am curious. Like, I feel like they are one of the few teams where, like, we've been seeing Mac Jones getting benched for the last couple of weeks, and they don't seem excited about Bailey Zappe season. And I think Bill Belichick would just like to have a chance with another quarterback that he thinks might be good enough. So I think it would be interesting or curious to see what would happen if that went down. I don't think it necessarily will go down, but it would definitely be interesting.
Okay, so 3-team deal. So Mac goes to the Vikings because he's relatively young and you kind of have a starting over. He's shown some flashes some flashes in the past. You have an offensive-minded head coach. So Mac goes to Minnesota. You know, Minnesota Mac would be a great nickname. Kurt goes to the Patriots. And then we have draft picks going. And, yeah, I could see this. It could definitely be a 3-team deal. Everyone gets what they want. And, yeah, I think it could work.
Absolutely. So, Derek, I'm going to go ahead and jump full force into what I am selling this week. And it's not something I was heavily invested in anyway, but you know, you got to diversify your portfolio, get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I'm going to go ahead and start selling and selling fast on the Dallas Cowboys offense. We all knew that it was going to be interesting this year with Mike McCarthy calling the plays instead of Kellen Moore. And if you look at how many points they've scored, you might believe that they're doing really well. It's not really true. They are struggling. They're only converting 20% of their fourth down so far. Dak has 5 touchdown passes to 4 picks, and they only have 4 rushing touchdowns this year. So if you're doing the math on that, we are talking about a team that through 5 games has 9 offensive touchdowns. Just 9. That's not a good number. I think they all thought that Tony Pollard was going to be able to come in and just be this dynamic running back because they had seen him do well before. But he's struggling as the main guy, putting up about 4.2 yards a carry. They've had some injuries on the offensive line as well. It has been tough to kind of let the Tony Pollard machine run. He has 2 of the rushing touchdowns. The other rushing touchdowns go to Kevontae Turpin, who's, of course, their like special teams return man. And Hunter Lupke, who I believe got some garbage time probably against the Jets or Giants earlier in the season. As far as the people who've had receiving touchdowns this year, that's Rico Dowdle, Kevontae Turpin, CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, and Luke Schoonmaker. I'm not really sure how we're not getting CeeDee Lamb more involved in this offense, as he has 27 catches, 358 yards, and 1 touchdown, which, to be honest, Derek, is probably similar numbers to what I was just talking about for Sam Laporta earlier, except people think that CeeDee Lamb is exceptional and don't know who Sam Laporta is. And Sam Laporta has more touchdowns. So I just look at this and go, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're invested the way they are. I feel like they're not really trying to get more people involved. And it's just not a good skill set of players. Like after CeeDee Lamb, you have like Jake Ferguson and Michael Gallup out there with catches. Maybe Brandon Cooks. Like, there's not a lot of things on this team that I look at and go, I really believe in that. And that's why I have them outside of tier one. And I wasn't necessarily stunned when the 49ers said, yeah, we'll take care of business on Sunday night. which I enjoyed thoroughly.
I'm going to agree with you on this. And once again, I don't have much in the way of stock either in the Cowboys. I have to have a little bit, kind of like crypto, just because of where we live. And I think it's funny that everyone's like, oh, well, look at this Texas Coast offense that we're running. It's not West Coast. It's not this. It's not that. And like, oh, great. Mike McCarthy is an offensive genius. Well, Mike McCarthy is not an offensive genius. You know firsthand as owner of the Packers. And all of a sudden, everything has changed. Everything's better. Interesting how everything is riding on the defense to do stuff, and the offense. I mean, I like Dak. I think he's a good person. I think that he's a good quarterback. I just don't think this team is set up for... I don't think this team is set up like the 98 Packers with Brett Favre. He could throw for 2 interceptions, but he'd also throw for 4 or 5 touchdowns. And that's not this offense. And so you're going to have to, you have to get wide receiver talent there, someone opposite CeeDee Lamb, so that you're not just forcing the ball to CeeDee. And like, okay, using an example, I was watching the Chiefs game the other day, and toward the end of the game, it was saying that the Chiefs had 10 different guys with a reception. I don't think the Cowboys have 6 guys with a reception. And I know that there's not 6 guys that are putting up decent amount of yards with those catches. So something's gotta give. And I think I give up on trying to figure out what the Cowboys are doing.
Absolutely. Well, Derek, let's go ahead. We're going to jump into Thursday Night Football, which is a thrilling matchup between the Broncos and the Chiefs. And being that you are the resident Broncos fan, I have gone ahead and pulled a little bit of statistics and trivia from this head-to-head matchup in the past, because right now the Kansas City Chiefs, unfortunately for you, have won 15 matches in a row. Before that, though, the Denver Broncos had won a nice 7 matchups in a row. So, Derek, I'm looking back, and so the last time that the Broncos did get a win in this series, it was 2015. Do you remember who the head coach of the Denver Broncos was?
Let's see. 2015. Fox.
Gary Kubiak.
Kubiak, okay, yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah, it just feels like a while ago for sure. What receiver for the Broncos had the game-tying touchdown and had 2 touchdown receptions in that game?
I'm gonna kick myself for not knowing this. Go ahead and give it to me.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah. This is me kicking myself.
That's okay. And then Bradley Roby had a 21-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Right after that, Sanders reception. Peyton Manning was still on the team. Life was good. Looking at players from the Chiefs that scored in that game, they include Jamal Charles, Marcus Peters, Cairo Santos, and Nile Davis. And Alex Smith was their quarterback.
Yeah, I was like, we haven't beaten Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah.
All right. So then I wanted to go back to, well, what was the last game in the series when the Broncos had their winning streak? What was the game the Chiefs won before that? which takes me all the way back, Derek, to January 1st, 2012. Do you know either of the starting quarterbacks in this game?
2012 was Cutler, I believe.
No.
No?
Let's just say this player would know what to do that the Miami offense did not do at the end of the game.
He would know how to kneel down?
Yes. And probably put his fist to his forehead.
You know what? I'm just totally blanking tonight.
Tim Tebow.
Oh my goodness. Walked out those years.
The Chiefs quarterback in this contest was Kyle Orton.
Yeah.
The touchdown was a 21-yard run by Dexter McCluster and a 7-3 win of the Chiefs over the Broncos as Romeo Crennel beat John Fox at Mile High before the Broncos went on a string of games that they won. Looking at the names on this team, it makes me smile a little bit and be a little bit sad because I see things like Dwayne Bowe and Steve Breston, Willis McGahee, Eddie Royal, Demaryius Thomas, Daniel Fells, Eric Decker. And like, I know who these people are, and I feel a little ridiculous recognizing so many names in that game. But that's not the matchups we are here to talk about, because we need to figure out the matchups from this current week's game as they are going to take place on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. Please sponsor us, Amazon Prime. We will accept that. Or just promote our podcast on Amazon Music, because you can listen to us there as well. And that's enough promotion for the smiley face company right now. Derek, what is your matchup to watch from the Broncos-Chiefs game this week?
Okay, like I said a minute ago, last week the Chiefs had 10 guys with a reception. That's a deep wide receiver pool. Just a really good quarterback who gets to spread the ball around. For me, it's PS2, Patrick Surtain the second versus any of the Chiefs receivers. I don't think he's going to be on Kelce, and he probably won't be on, he might be on MVS. I mean, I'd have to assume, but because they switch out so much, you are going to have to take guys out of the game. You're going to have to shut your assignment down, because you're the only bright spot on the defense. You have Justin Simmons, you have PS2. Other than that, I don't know who's playing defense or who can play defense. So go out there and make yourself look good. Do your best to shut down the guy that you're assigned to, and try to play within your playbook, because I'm not sure how you shut down this Chiefs offense with the defense that we have.
I kind of hope personally that I get to see a little bit of PS2 versus Rashee Rice down in the red zone.
Yeah,
because Rashee Rice has been targeted a lot down there, and I think that would just be a fun and interesting matchup to see Surtain matching up with the rookie and possibly giving the rookie a little bit of something to deal with. But my matchup here, as the coach came in, he'd been working with the media, he had a big mouth. My matchup is Sean Payton versus the hot seat. I know I might be coming in a little spicy here, but you can't come out and say that what Nathaniel Hackett did might have been one of the worst football coaching jobs in the history of coaching, and then get off to a 1-4 start where you literally have lost to pretty much everyone who used to be affiliated with your organization except for your own coaching staff. we're talking about them losing to former Broncos head coach Josh McDaniels, the Commanders, former Broncos ball boy Mike McDaniel, and of course his defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, the former Broncos head coach. You lost to the Bears, which is embarrassing enough. And then you also lost to your former head coach, who is the offensive coordinator and play caller for the New York Football Jets. I'm not trying to be spicy, Derek. I'm not trying to throw your team under the bus. I really am not. But at some point, something's got to give. This is a team that at least last year was playing in closer games, low-scoring games, didn't give up 70 in one contest. And, like, pretty much every contest, except for the opener, they've given up 28 points or more. Like, even to the Jets. And we're not talking about the 70 burger that the Dolphins put on them in this instance. Like, even if we're just saying giving up 30 is just not a way to win in today's NFL. And, I mean, that's why the defense is rated 32nd. They've given up the most points of any team in the league this year. That's not a great matchup when, like you said, how are you supposed to shut down the Chiefs when you're literally not shutting down anyone? It's not going to be great. I don't know if this is Sean Payton's time to go because they gave up a first-round pick for him. Maybe you get rid of Vance Joseph and recalibrate on that defensive coaching staff. Something has got to give because after this game, you have 10 days before you are hosting one of the best teams in all of football in the Green Bay Packers. And then you host the Kansas City Chiefs again the week after that. You can't wait for your bye. You can't, you know, have a Chiefs and Packers sandwich potentially give you a sweep and get to 1-7. If you lose this one, which I mean, hey, maybe I'm putting something out in the universe. People were saying Eberflus was going to get fired if the Bears didn't beat the Commanders. They crushed them. So maybe I'm speaking some good news for you, Derek. But if you don't come out here and beat the Chiefs, or at least keep it competitive, what are you doing here, Sean Payton? So I think that something's got to go, and whether it's Vance Joseph or Peyton or whoever, something's got to change.
Hey, I need to correct the record. We beat the Bears by 3 points.
Oh, my apologies.
You said we lost to the Bears. No, we did not lose to the Bears. We also did not give up 30 points to the Bears.
Yeah, that one was 28. I did say it was 28 or more.
Yes. Yeah, no, I don't know how all of a sudden Ajiro Evero could get this. It was a really good defense last year. Like, as many people, if you go back and look at it, if we only scored 19 points a game, we would have been in the playoffs. And like on the offensive side. So this year, all of a sudden, we have all the same guys for the most part, and you know, nothing, no big changes. And all of a sudden, you can't stop a breeze going. It's like a fart going through a screen door. I do not know how you can't stop anybody. It doesn't make sense to me. What I do know is Russell Wilson isn't the problem. He's just not the solution. And so I was happy when Sean Payton became the head coach, but at the same time, I don't know what to do.
That's fair. I will say if they let Vance Joseph go, and I think I maybe have talked about this before, let's promote Christian Parker, defensive backs coach. He was there. He was actually brought in by Fangio, and he's still been there. So he was there with Fangio as a head coach. He was there under Evero last year, and clearly he should know what he's doing with that defense and that secondary, because he's worked with some of the best years of PS2. So, and Justin Simmons.
Yeah, I think Vance Joseph has to go. We need to fire him twice in 3 years. But
Joseph's got to go.
I would not bet on him having a job on Friday.
You think he might get tarmacked?
I think he could be tarmacked, because I think this game is not going to be anywhere close to a contest on Thursday. So,
well, Derek, I think that with all of that being said, it's time to move over probably to your pick on this game on the Brody Bets. But let's make sure we get our high fives and handshakes completed for last week's games. I'll let you do a quick rundown of that as we get ready to transition to week 6 of the NFL season.
Yeah, so we both get a little bit of knuckle love this week, as no one gets a high five and no one gets a handshake because we tied. So we're just going to fist bump and call it good. We both went 3-2 last week, with me and my Kansas State Cowboys. I had the over 55 and they only scored 50. My Broncos, I had under 43.5. The final score was 52. I did win the Alabama pick. They won by over 2.5 versus Texas A&M. I did not get my underdog pick, as I had Kentucky plus 14.5, and they got beat up by UGA, the University of Georgia. And then my wild card, Arizona, USC, over 71.5. I went to bed, thought I lost that one, until I pull up the game the next day, and they're in 3 overtimes, and they had scored 84 points because Alex Grinch is probably going to be the next defensive coordinator in Denver and not do any better. Honestly, the USC defense is absolutely dog snot. So over to Caleb. He did win his Nebraska pick with under 44.5 for their game versus Illinois. Nebraska 20, Illinois 7. So that adds up to be 27 under the 44.5. The Packers did not win. And so his minus 2 versus the Raiders. Raiders won by 4. He did get his Michigan pick this week. Michigan minus 19.5 at Minnesota. They did win by 42 points, so he got that one. And then his loss on the underdog and the wild card, he had the Texans plus 1 and Atlanta won by 2. That stinks. You got hosed on that one. I didn't remember your underdog. And then your wild card, you had the Panthers and the Lions under 45. Well, the Lions scored 42 on their own, and the Panthers scored 24, so they were over the 45. Completely surprising that the Panthers could put up 24 points. So this week, I'm going to steal a lot of Caleb's picks from last week, because the stuff that he won, I'm going to see if I can repeat that.
Sounds like a good call.
Yeah. So I, starting with the Oklahoma State, my college team, they're going to Kansas, and they are a 3.5-point underdog. The over-under is 57. Well, if anything has taught me anything, the defense isn't going to show up this week, and the offense is. So I have over 57 points being scored in this game. Go Pokes. So I think this is a bye week for your Huskers, is it not?
It is. I put down that they're ruling the roost. They're in Nebraska, as we have Matt Rhule we are 3-3. And I'm just going, it's not great that I'm cheering for a bowl game, but considering where we've been, I am cheering for a bowl game. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, so let's go back over to my team up there in Denver. We just talked about them a minute ago. They're on Thursday Night Football. They're a 10.5-point underdog. The over-under is 47.5. I think that the Chiefs are going to score 50 on them. So I'm taking the over 47.5, because I don't think there's any way that I'm taking anything else. I'm not taking the Broncos plus 10.5. Yeah, just it's not going to work. Tell me about the Packers. Did they pack it in and head out to their bye week?
They are also on a bye this week. My football is so much more peaceful this weekend because my college and pro teams that I'm rooting for are not playing. So, yeah, I put resting and healing for them this week because Aaron Jones has missed several games. We've been banged up on the offensive line quite a bit. I'm hoping for good things, but the last couple of games have just not felt great after that season opener against the Bears.
So why don't you go ahead and tell me about your favorite this week, so you at least get to talk about some football.
Okay, well, my favorite this week, I went ahead and went with a team that does have to travel quite a bit because they are coming back from London, but I was putting the Bills on a revenge game. They are a 14-point favorite against the New York Football Giants. It is at home in Highmark Stadium, and I think that the Giants might be one of the worst teams in the NFL. Yes, they beat the Cardinals. No, they have not looked good otherwise. Saquon Barkley has missed several games in a row. Daniel Jones hurt his neck in the last game. If you're telling me that this is going to be some sort of Tyrod Taylor, Matt Breida special, I want no part of that for the Giants. I think Josh Allen is going to come out and hit Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, and James Cook quite a bit because they want to put some points up and kind of have fun on the national stage on Sunday Night Football. And we will not be waiting all night to see the end of that game because the Bills are going to be crushing it, and I think that they will cover that 14-point spread.
That's a good game. I looked at that one myself, and yeah, I'm not sure what level of points I would, you know, if the points started to go up. I'm not sure, would I go to 22, 23 on that, because I really do think that the Bills are going to have a get-right game versus the Giants.
I like it. Who are you favoring this week? Because let's face it, we did both nail our favorites last week. So if there's one thing we know, it's favorites.
Yeah. So last week, the Michigan Wolverines had a 42-point win over Minnesota. Michigan is at home versus Indiana. And they're favored by 33.5. I think that this, I think anytime that you can take Michigan or Ohio State in the games that they should be, they're highly favored in, they're going to run up the score, because at the end of the year, one of those two teams is going to be undefeated. The other one is going to be have a one loss probably, unless something falters through this year. And so they're trying to get into the playoffs as another team versus the Big Ten champion or whatnot. So every game is, oh, they blew out this team. Oh, they blew out that team. So for me, last week, Caleb did good with Michigan. I'm going to take Michigan minus 33.5 versus Indiana. So staying up there in the Big Ten area, let's talk about my underdog. So as we said before, as I talked about a little bit ago, I think the Minnesota Vikings should sell everything. Get rid of Kirk Cousins and, you know, maybe have that three-team trade that we talked about earlier. But this week they're at the Bears. The Bears are plus 2.5 in this game. Justin Fields is probably not the issue with this team. The quarterback isn't the worst part. He's putting up plays. He's making touchdowns. So I'm taking the Bears in this one, plus 2.5 at home versus the Vikings. I think the Bears win this one. What about your, where's your underdog?
My underdog is going to Monday Night Football. Apparently I'm feeling primetimey this week, Derek, as I went with another home team in primetime. The Chargers, they've had their week of rest. The Cowboys, they literally just played last Sunday night against the 49ers. Got embarrassed. I don't know if they're staying on the West Coast, but I think that the Cowboys are going to struggle going down to SoFi Stadium. I think that the Chargers, with that extra rest, are going to find a way to come out. The spread is Chargers plus 2. So I think the Chargers will win outright. The Kellen Moore revenge game as the Chargers and Austin Eckler go out there and take over the field.
Really good point there. I like that Chargers. I mean, plus 2, you know, it's better than plus 1, I guess. Maybe you can at least get a push. Yeah, so... And then I am going for a wild card game here. So I have recently hopped into a little bit of Iowa fandom, just on the slight edges of it, because I've got to talk to my boss about, because she's a big Iowa fan. She graduated from Iowa. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to stick in the Big Ten this week. I like them a lot. And so it's Iowa, Wisconsin, and the over-under for this game is 36.5. Now, in college football, generally 36.5 is probably something that one team can score. But this is Iowa, and this is Wisconsin. Can someone put up 20 points and someone else put up another 20 points? Four quarters. Figure it out, guys. Because 36.5 is a very low number. So I'm going to take the over. I think that somehow, some way, they get over 36.5 points in this game. And I get to have a happy boss the following Monday.
As a rival of Iowa, I hope that Wisconsin and Bucky the Badger jump around and that your boss is slightly upset, but not at you. I also went with an over of a low scoring total this week. And that is because I went and leaned on an NFL score that was really, really low. It's a noon contest in Central Time between the San Francisco 49ers, arguably the best team in football, and the Cleveland Browns, who have had a week of rest. The over-under on this game is 1 point higher than Derek's game at 37.5. And the 49ers just scored 42 against Dallas, who is considered one of the better defenses in the league. There's discussion about whether or not Deshaun Watson plays because he still might be banged up. If he doesn't go, instead of going with the rookie, apparently PJ Walker might get the start. That does not make me feel any more confident about what the Browns can do. However, I think in this game, if the Browns get 3 or 10, I'm going to feel very good about the over, because especially if it's 10, a 28-10 victory for the 49ers feels very possible. We all know Christian McCaffrey is going to get another touchdown because he has scored a touchdown in about 9,200 straight games for the 49ers since he joined them last year. Brock Purdy continues to not have lost a start since he joined the team and finished a game. And yeah, I just think that the 49ers are going to go out there, take care of business, score points, and we're not going to be seeing a ton of Jake Moody because the 49ers are going to be inventive and be creative under Kyle Shanahan, and they're going to get enough points scored. I mean, even the week that they started Dorian Thompson-Robinson in Cleveland, they gave up 28. It was 28-3. I'm just saying, you know, whether the 49ers score an extra touchdown or something, I think that there's going to – it just felt way too low. It felt way too low for this NFL contest, in my opinion. Derek, I don't know if you love this one or hate it. I know that you tend to – they are your bandwagon team, so you probably easily see 37.5 in this one.
Dear San Francisco, I'm sorry for ever saying anything negative about you. Thank you for giving me even the slightest amount of joy watching NFL football now, as I can't watch the Denver games. So thank you for allowing me on your bandwagon these last couple years and being incredibly fun.
I mean, the good news is you don't have to worry about the Chiefs broadcast being on at that time instead, because it will already be over on Thursday night. So
it's already over, man. The game is already over. And all you got to do is tell me the final score.
Oh, and hopefully it's over 47.5 for your sake.
Yeah, there so, you go.
Friends, I hope that you all have enjoyed this episode. We've had our serious moments. We've had our funny moments. We love jumping on the pod and just having a great time with y'all. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. We would really love that. As a Packers owner, I love sticking the word love out there so that I can say it as much as I want. And if you love our picks, hate our picks, anything you want to talk to us about, hit us up on Twitter at Brody Talk. And of course, all of our links are in our link tree, linktr.ee/BrodyTalk. On behalf of my wonderful co-host, Derek, my name is Caleb Walgren, and we are signing out. Later, y'all.
Bye, guys.